Good morning, Peninsula Hope family. I hope you guys are doing well, and I hope you've enjoyed a week of really nice breathing air outside. Let me open us up in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we magnify and glorify your name. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to me and through me, Lord, as we bring your word today, Lord, and I pray that you would penetrate our hearts with your truth, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, this week I'm going to start a new series. I believe it's going to be about 2 weeks, and I really felt God's leading to preach a sermon on discouragement, because what I've seen is with all of the things that are going on in the world and in our nation, many people have gone from that place of anxiety, which we've talked about previously, to a place of discouragement. And so I wanted to spend some time talking about that. And as I was preparing, it got me thinking about the first time I applied for a youth pastor position. And I've shared this with some of you, but I think it really speaks to the topic that we're going to be going over. And I remember when I first applied and there was over 100 candidates, how excited I was to, I believe the first time was maybe the top 20 and then it was the top 10, and how excited I was to make these different transitions. And this was a really long process that took place over the span of a year. And I remember that there was a period where I was told, you've made the top three. And I would hear people saying, you did so great and people like you so much. And so I was so encouraged and had so much passion and energy for what God was doing. And then I got a call and I was told, the search committee would like to have this catered dinner with you. And so I was so excited. I'm like, oh, wow, a catered dinner. This is it, man. This is how they're going to let me know that I'm going to be their new youth pastor. Unfortunately, not long after that dinner, and it might have actually been that night, I had found out that they did this catered dinner for all three of the final candidates. And when I heard that, I became discouraged. I didn't really understand what was going on, and it was really hard to try to interpret anything. I didn't know what this meant or what that meant. And I noticed myself losing some energy. And my motivation, it started to drop. And it really affected me in so many different ways. And we see a similar thing taking place in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to be focusing today on Nehemiah chapter 4. And I'm going to give you guys a little bit of just kind of the overview so you know what's going on. At this point where we move into Nehemiah, the exiles in Babylon, they have returned home. They have been given that permission to go back to Judah and to go back to Jerusalem. And so they've gone back and they've also had permission to rebuild the temple. And then as we open in Nehemiah chapter 1, we see that Nehemiah, he's getting an update on what's going on in Jerusalem. And he's really upset because what he hears is that the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they're not doing well. And that's because the city walls, they've been destroyed. And so he seeks God, he prays and he fasts and he asks God to intervene. And then he goes and he talks to King Artaxerxes and he asks for permission to rebuild the walls. And he's given that. So he has the favor of God and now he has the favor of the king. And he's also given all the materials that are needed to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And so then he goes on a trip to Jerusalem and he kind of scopes everything out. He doesn't reveal what his plans are and what he's going to do. He wants to kind of survey the scene first, but then eventually he does share his plans. And he mentions to all the inhabitants and those in the surrounding areas, he says, you know, we have the favor of God. God is with us. We are going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And we have the favor of the king. And in fact, the king has provided all the materials that are necessary. And so he just sparks everybody. And there's this excitement that everybody has. And so they start the process of rebuilding the wall. And of course, there are some people in the neighboring areas that aren't happy about that. These are the enemies of Jerusalem. And so they're kind of concerned and they start mocking Nehemiah and they say things like, you know, how are you going to build this? Are you going to rebuild this in one day? And so Nehemiah, he just prays. And we see that the walls and the gates of the city walls are being rebuilt, and there's so much passion that everybody has. And that's because these individuals, they are working with all of their heart. And I love what it says in Nehemiah 2:18. Nehemiah says, "Let us arise and build." So he is stirring people up. There's so much passion and people are so excited. And they get to the point where the wall has actually been rebuilt to half its height. That's how fast and how much passion all these people had. But this starts to worry those leaders in the surrounding areas. And what happens is that their earlier mocking, it starts turning into plotting. And they're thinking about, what can we do to get in the way of this wall being rebuilt? And Nehemiah, he just continues to pray. But it's a little bit different for the inhabitants of Jerusalem and those in Judah. When they hear this, they get discouraged. And just like me in that interview that I had, they start to see their energy drop and they start to lose motivation. But what is discouragement? What is this thing that is so powerful that it can affect our emotions, it can affect our energy levels and our motivation to do things, even things for God? I think the best way to understand what discouragement is to look at what the definition of courage is. And that's defined as the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without being overcome by fear. Now, if you add to that definition the prefix dis, which means do the opposite of, deprive of, exclude or expel from, you see that discourage means to deprive someone or something of courage, hope, confidence, to dishearten them or to dispirit them, to dispirit them. So you can see that discouragement is a very negative and very powerful thing that works against us. But what causes it? Well, when we look at Nehemiah 4, what we see is there are four things that cause the rebuilders of the wall to become discouraged. The first thing we read about is fatigue and being tired. Nehemiah 14, the NIV says, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." I was reading an article and it said that when you're physically or emotionally exhausted, this is that time when you are a prime candidate to be infected with discouragement. Your defenses are lowered and things can seem so much bleaker than they really are. And oftentimes this can happen halfway when you're going through an incredibly huge project or something. It's this point where you get tired and that's when that discouragement can set in. So that verse, it also talked about frustration, which is the second cause of discouragement. In this case, it talked about there being too much rubble. And maybe this is past or current issues or drama. When unfinished tasks pile up or there's just too many things going on in your life or in your past, you can feel overwhelmed. And even trivial things or things that interrupt you, they can cause so many problems for you. And they keep you from accomplishing the tasks that you have at hand. And again, this frustration, it causes discouragement. Another cause is fear. It might be fear of failing, fear of being attacked, of harm, or fear of the unknown. Nehemiah 4:11-12, the NIV says, "Also our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us." Fear is behind more discouragement than we'd like to admit. The fear of criticism, what will people think? Or the fear of responsibility, am I able to handle this? Or even that fear of failure, will I blow this? These are things that can cause us to become discouraged. And the final one is negative people. And sometimes this comes in the form of ridicule or mocking. We saw that in Nehemiah 4:3. In the NIV, it reads, Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbing up on it, would break down their walls of stone. So it's mocking, this kind of negativity. It can cause us to become discouraged. And other times, that negativity, it can come from people who are dealing with their own issues. And they just end up kind of dumping that on us. Nehemiah 4:12 in the NIV says, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So they're repeating it. They're kind of beating you down with their negativity. And oftentimes, we start to bring that onto ourselves and we become discouraged because we're believing what someone else has said. And discouragement, it can affect us in so many ways. It can lead us to doubt and unbelief. It could be the doubt and unbelief of a situation. And probably the worst kind of doubt or unbelief is when it causes us to doubt or unbelieve God, or not believe in God, excuse me. It can cause us to become selfish because we're only looking out for our safety. Discouragement can cause us to become vulnerable to temptations and sin because we're looking for anything that can make us feel a little bit better. We may lash out at other people. We could be really careless with our words, or we may just get angry with people because we're discouraged. We might end up quitting or giving up on something, and that something could be really important, something that God has called us to. But because we're discouraged, we're giving up. And as I mentioned earlier, with negative people, we can become those negative people. And because of discouragement, we may end up discouraging other people. So it's important that we figure out, how do we deal with this? How do we overcome discouragement? Well, I want to take you to another prefix and definition. This time the prefix we're going to look at is N. And N, it means to cause or to put in. So when you add the prefix N to courage, you end up with encourage. And this is defined as causing to have courage or to put courage into something. So encouraging is how we deal with discouragement. And there's two ways that people can be encouraged. The first one is people can be encouraged by others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 in the NIV says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so we can help to encourage other people. And then other times people, they can encourage themselves. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 in the NASB says, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I love the way that the King James Version puts this. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's going to be the focus of our sermon next week. So today let's talk about, how can we encourage others? Well, the first thing we can do is pray. Nehemiah 4 verses 8 through 9, the NIV says, they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. They prayed. And so what we need to do is we need to pray that God will help us to encourage others. That's the first thing. Pray for God's help for us to encourage others. And then right after, pray for other people, those that are discouraged. Pray for their needs. Pray for their protection. Pray that they have a sound mind and an openness to God. And then you can help them reorganize and reprioritize. Nehemiah 4, verse 13, the NIV says, "Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows." So help others identify weak spots and help them develop a great support system. And keep in mind, you may be part of that support system, or you might be all that support system. That's the way that we can encourage others when they are going through seasons of discouragement. Another way that we can help encourage others is by using discernment and paying attention to the situation that they're going through, and then give them an encouraging word. Nehemiah 4, verse 14, the NIV says, "After I looked over things, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes.'" So the first thing Nehemiah did, he looked things over. He surveyed the situation, and then he gave an encouraging word. Now, it's so important that we pay attention to the discernment and the paying attention portion, or the looking things over. Because there's times when we may think we are being encouraging, but in actuality, what we're saying, it's actually very discouraging. Ephesians 4, verse 29, the NIV says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So we need discernment to know what exactly is going to help to build people up according to their needs, so that it will benefit them. I remember when we first moved to the Bay Area, actually right before we moved out here, so many people were talking about how high the cost of living is out here. And that is obviously a reality that we all deal with. And I remember when we were talking to our superintendent and the head of our MEG, and Pastor Jason, Pastor Keith, they would, you know, kind of tell us, you know, "Hey, you know, here are just some of the realities of the Bay Area. But here's the thing, we believe you're called out here, so we're going to pray and God's going to provide." And so even though they were telling us the truth of something that is a challenge, finances, the way that they presented it, the way that they talked to us about it, it encouraged us in our faith. It encouraged us to pray more and more and to trust God. But there was other times where people would say things like, "Hey, the Bay Area is really expensive. What are you going to do? Not everybody makes it out here." And the thing is, those are facts. That is reality. But because people really didn't discern and think about what they were saying, it was actually really discouraging. And there were times when, you know, Emily and I might look at each other and be like, "Maybe this isn't supposed to happen." So you have to use discernment. You have to survey the situation. Because, again, there are times where you may think, "I am sharing something that's so beneficial to someone," but you don't realize you're maybe tearing them down and discouraging them. So do what Nehemiah did, and discern and pay attention, look things over. Now let's take a look at the discerning encouragement that Nehemiah gave. Nehemiah encouraged the Jews to not be afraid, and that's so important. He's saying, "Don't fear, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, wives, and their homes." This is how he's encouraging them. He's giving them reasons to keep going. And then Nehemiah encouraged them in the most important way. And this is what I was talking about earlier with our superintendent and Pastor Keith. They encouraged us in God. They encouraged us to remember God. And that's what Nehemiah did. He encouraged the builders of the wall. He said, remember God. He pointed them back to their creator. And he reminded them how powerful and great and awesome God is. And the reason he did it is that God can intervene and frustrate the plans of our enemies. He can change anything around for us. Nehemiah 4:15 in the NIV says, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. God can frustrate the plans that get in the way of what he wants you to accomplish. And it doesn't even have to be enemies. It can just be a bad situation or circumstance. God can intervene on your behalf. And then God will fight for us. Nehemiah 4 verse 20 in the NIV says, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. I want to end by returning to the story that I opened up with. I didn't end up getting that position. I was one of the top three, but not the one chosen. And I was so fortunate to have incredible Christian friends and incredible Christian mentors that encouraged me to seek God and pray. And you know what? God moved, and he moved mightily. In a very short period of time, he opened up another position that was a better fit. Every aspect of it was just more me, and it was incredible. And I'm not saying that God is going to change your situation instantly or that you won't have to go through some things. But what I'm saying is that if you will take my encouragement and seek God, that he can turn your situation around. God loves you. God is for you. But you have to turn to him first. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the ability, Lord, to encourage others and the gift that that is. I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone right now, Lord, that is hearing this message, that is going through a season of discouragement, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to them, would burn their hearts. I pray that fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can come around these individuals and encourage them not to give up. Encourage them that there is hope, and encourage them to ultimately turn back to you. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your word. Pray this in your name. Amen. We love you guys. Stay encouraged and seek God. Amen. We'll see you soon.